Me too. I got to go too. No camping. No camping. Just drive through. Glory! Thank God, good! All the time. God is good. As I was working on this sermon last night, I had a professor that was supposed to be giving me information for me to fix because it's a capstone experience. And it's going to be this great big old 20-page paper, and it's going to be like the whole accommodation and the accumulation of all you've done in Lee and for all the 4 years. And it's a really big, big, big deal. It's sort of like a dissertation if you're a doctorate, and a thesis if you got a master's degree. So this is what's coming on. And instead of giving it to me Monday when I can be working on it, have it ready for him so I can send it back in the following Monday, tomorrow when it's due, he sent it last night. When all the resources that I could have at my disposal at Lee were closed. There's chances are I won't get any more chances of any more resources. And I said, God, just because I'm preaching on this, do I have to go through this tonight? How many can guess what I'm preaching on tonight? Today? Hold on, talk about writing a paper. First, let me tell you, get your Bibles out. Turn to Numbers. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, stand for the reading of the word. Numbers 13. Isn't it beautiful in here? It is so gorgeous. The ladies are so awesome. They got it going on. There's no doubt about it. Numbers 13. And we just go verse 23. Got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say, oh, me. All right. If you say, oh, me, there should be one right in front of you in the pew. Verse 23, Numbers 13. Somebody said numbers aren't that important to God. If they're not, why didn't write a book called Numbers? That's from the old joke book. Y'all can still laugh. Okay. 23, and they came to the brook Eshcol and cut from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff. In other words, these grapes are so big, it took two men with a pole between them to carry this. What in the world kind of promise is that? Never seen that before in their entire life. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel could cut down from thence. In other words, God's promise was real. Y'all say God's promise is real. Say, God's promise can be trusted. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. In other words, here's the proof of what God said was true. Here it is, it's right before us. And they told him and said, we came into the land which thou sentest us, and surely, for a fact, absolutely, positively, it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Here's the proof. God's got a way of taking care of us in every kind of way, and here's the fruit of it. Here's where we all get in trouble, this big word right here. Nevertheless. Y'all say nevertheless. The people shall be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Here they are, this great thing in front of them, proof that God's miracles exist, God's promises are kept. But in the middle of the promises, they went to see just how strong they were going to have to fight to obtain what God gave them. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Wow. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that nothing in this world is perfect. And everything we do in this world, we have to measure and calculate, and we have to watch it. And we know, God, that with you, Lord, we know sometimes without you, we can't do it. With you, we can do all things. And Lord, we know, God, that one thing that everybody always goes through all their life is struggle. Things happen that we're not expecting. Things happen that throw us off kilter. Things happen that we're not expecting. Sometimes even when we expect it, it's just not what we were expecting when we get it. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to see, to know, and to understand what you do for us every day. And that although the promises are real, along with the promises comes pain. Along with the promises come problems. And we know that. You've already told us, occupy till you come means actually take back what belongs to us. Take it back until you come home. Meaning that we're going to have to fight. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. The church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. You know, I read this little story. It was kind of, you know, it made me think about me and D.C. Me and D.C. were in a restaurant, and D.C. brushed the crumbs off the seat, and I took a napkin and swiped a spill on the table, and the waitress came over and asked if we wanted to see some menus. D.C. said, no thanks. I just want to have a cup of black coffee. And I said, I have a cup of black coffee too. And please make sure the cup is clean. The waitress shook her head at me with a nasty look. She turned and marched off to the kitchen. 2 minutes later, she came back with two cups of black coffee, and she announced, which one of you wanted the clean cup? Yeah, that's the new book. It's pretty cool, ain't it? All right. Struggle. How many this week have had some struggles in your life? Maybe you didn't expect it, maybe you did expect it, but struggle came, and when struggle came, it actually was pretty tough. Sometimes the struggles are minor, sometimes the struggles are powerful. Sometimes, like last night, when this one thing that this man's doing can make a difference on what level of my GPA when I graduate, all because this one paper can change the whole 4 years of straight A's or all A's and two B's, all of that can be gone because this one guy with this paper. And this one guy with this paper waits till last night at 10 o'clock when I could not get anything done. I had just left Norma and been praying with her and been with Norma. And I come up from the hospital trying to get some work done. And as I'm trying to get work done, here he pops it up. And I see that there's work's got to be done, but he doesn't even make it very clear. And I said, I can't believe this. I wrote to him and I told him, I said, this does not make any sense. You just gave it to me. You're expecting all this to be done. And you didn't give me any time. And I couldn't do this and whatever. And he just said, I think you just need to call me. And I said, if you heard what I call you, you wouldn't want to hear it. Amen. And so I haven't called him yet. Amen. I wrote him this morning at 6 o'clock when I got up. And I told him, I said, I'm still working on my sermon. And I'm working on a 10-page report, a 10-page essay for my sociology class. And I'm working on your paper that cannot ever be finished. And so, can y'all say try to have a good attitude? I'm trying. Thank you. I'm glad you helped me out. Thank you. All right. So now, struggle is a part of life. Every time you think you got the bull by the horns, you wind up realizing that it was a different bull. Every time you think you got everything just like it's supposed to be, you find out that the stuff is coming from another direction. So here we are. And I love this thing. I like the t-shirts that say it too. No pain, no gain. You know, I hear it all the time. No pain, no gain. Matter of fact, just a week or so ago, I was listening to the people talking. As they were talking, this is where this came from. They were talking about no pain, no gain, and how God had this, and they were going on and on and on. And one person was being negative, another person being positive. And I just sit back and listen. I didn't even, believe it or not, I didn't even get involved. I didn't. I just listened. And I said, God, you know, that'd be cool. I'm going to preach that Sunday. Amen. So I'm going to try to preach the positive side of that negative conversation. All right. So look, struggle. God has, it's actually a principle. There's a struggle principle in all of our lives. And you got to understand something. The Christian life requires us to walk by faith, not by sight. We get that so mixed up. Because if we don't feel good, we begin to doubt God. If we can't lay our hands on the promise, we begin to doubt God. If things don't work out just like we're expecting, we begin to doubt God. You know, Linda and I went out to lunch yesterday, and she ordered a Reuben sandwich. The only problem was Reuben must have been a midget. Because here's a big piece of bread, and the Reuben was only halfway through the bread. The rest was just bread. Here was the Reuben, and there was the bread. She said, that's kind of a weird-looking Reuben sandwich. I said, Reuben must have been really short. Amen. You can't walk by sight. You can't walk by feelings. You can't walk by expecting everything to fall perfectly in place all the time. It's not going to happen. No matter how hard you try, there's always this principle. And you say, well, the devil's working overtime. Sometimes it's God being on time. Oh, come on, don't shout me down. We give the devil all this, we give the devil glory and say he's working overtime and I wish I could crush him. And God is saying, no, that ain't the devil, it's me and I'm on time. You need this. You need this struggle in your life because you're trying to walk by sight. You're trying to walk by what you can feel. You're trying to walk by your senses, what you can taste. You're trying to walk by what you can see. And in God's economy, we need to take all of that out of the way. You know, I thought about the other day, Helen Keller. Helen Keller, because of a sickness when she was a baby, a fever, she wound up being deaf, dumb, and blind. It would have been easy for her to just lay there and been nothing but just disabled and laid in a bed the rest of her life. But you know what? She didn't walk by sight. She did not walk by senses. She walked by faith. And that woman became a very powerful speaker who never even heard her voice. I've heard her talk. I heard the recordings of her talking. And she never, ever heard her voice. Wow. She said, one of the things she said was, I am one. I am only one. I can't do everything, but I refuse to not do what I can do. Wow. Talk about walking by faith. Cannot see, not even see to learn. You had to do everything by Braille. Wow. You know, I remember there's a shoemaker. This shoemaker is making shoes, and one day he's got his awl there. Y'all know what an awl is, a little spike, metal spike that you beat the nails in with. He's beating the nails in the shoe, and the awl jumps out of his hand, and it hits his little boy in the eye. The little boy's eye is so badly damaged, they had to remove the eye. But not only did they have to remove the eye, because it was so long ago, infection set in the other eye, and his son became totally blind. That man could have been walking by sight, walking by feelings, and he could have laid down and felt bad about it and always felt sorry for his son. But he didn't. His son was trying to learn how to read with his hands, but they had big old blocks with big old letters, and you'd have to take this letter and trace out the big old letters, And he was trying to figure out how to read like that. And his dad, who was the reason, because his dad was hitting that hammer when the awl went and hit his son in the eye, his dad said, there's got to be a better way. And so his dad took that awl that blinded his son and took a piece of metal and come up with an alphabet that was raised up for blind people to read. That guy's name was Braille. Wow. God can take our struggles and do something very powerful with them if we'll let Him. You see, if you're going to do something like Braille or do something like Stevie Wonder or Helen Keller, you got to move beyond your feelings. You got to move beyond your limitations. You got to know that God's got this. No matter how what He's calling you and showing you, He's got it. You need to prepare for battle. Major events is expected. But everyday struggles is unexpected. It was a major event last night at 10 o'clock when I get a paper graded with 22 pages long. And he said, it's a great paper. You got great content. I love what you wrote, but it's not good enough. Don't change a thing that you wrote, but it's not good enough. Okay? It's not a research paper, but I need to see some research. But you said no research. Now you're saying research. So the rules keep changing every time I get back a paper. Linda, who's really good at this stuff, Linda said, I have no idea what this man wants. Is he even on the same planet? I don't know what planet he's from, but he's got a big impact on my final grade, period, over the whole 4 years, this one paper. And she said, well, we've got to expect God to handle this. That's minor, that struggle, that paper. Honestly, 100 years from now, it won't matter a thing. But you know what? There's other struggles we're going through today that does matter. It matters with our families. It matters with our jobs. It matters what we're going to be doing tomorrow. It matters what we're going through. Struggle is a part of life. There is a struggle principle. So watch this. When we choose, here you go. Remember I told you, you're trying to blame it all on Satan. You're doing this, Satan. Get off my back, Satan. And it's not Satan working overtime. It's God working on time. When we choose to walk by faith, you're met with resistance. And that resistance is what we call struggle. I'm not going to keep you long today. This might take us all the way through the month of October, except for homecoming, and then we're not going to have any struggle then because Brother Pollock's going to be here, and then we're going to hit the chicken. Amen. So watch this. Watch. Without struggle, listen carefully. Without struggle, your faith is hindered. You watch a man that's built a race car. Does he build that race car in his shop and never cranks it and puts it right on the racetrack? Never cranked it, never adjusted it, never fine-tuned it, never did anything with it. He built it in the shop, a prototype. He's not even sure if it'll work. And he takes it immediately out and puts it in a championship race. Does that work? No. Military. Do they take the guys when they sign up in Greenville and go throw them in the jungle? No. No, they throw them in basic training. Yeah, they throw them in basic training because they've got to be ready for what they're getting ready to face. You know, think about the things that you're going through nursing school or going through whatever kind of school you're going through, engineering school. They're not just going to give you something and then all of a sudden everything's ready to go. No, you got to be tested. You got to be tried. You got to be proven. And so, without struggle, faith is nothing but a word. See it. You got faith. I got the faith. Really? What about when this happened? I still got the faith. Well, what about you ran? Mark ran when Paul needed him the most. But his struggle, he couldn't stand the struggle. And he ran. Later on, he came back. He wrote the book of Mark. He also, when Paul's dying, he says, make sure you bring Mark because I found out he's profitable to the ministry for me because he's gone through the struggle. And now he's become somebody I can use. So this is very important. We don't want to experience struggle, but you can't walk by faith without it. We don't want to have the hard things. You know, you can watch at 6 o'clock in the morning, turn to channel 365 and let them hear you about how God, you send them $1,000 and all struggles are gone. What? Send $1,000 and my house will be paid for. Send $1,000 because I just sent $1,000 and somebody drove up in my yard and gave me a Rolls Royce. Really? Really? I don't think so. Struggle is the key to your faith. Watch this. Faith without struggle is weak. It's puny. It's ineffective. Matter of fact, it's just wishful thinking. You make God a cosmic sugar daddy. And you got, you know, when I was a little boy, I couldn't wait for the Sears and Roebuck catalog to come by. Y'all remember that Sears Roebuck wish book? How many remember the wish book? The wish book would come by and we'd all get it. Me and my brothers would fight over it to see who'd get a chance to look at it first, to see all the new toys that were out for Christmas. And I remember just watching that thing for days on end, just watching that wish book and then deciding what I want. And I go to make a big old list about that long. Daddy, here's what I want. Then Christmas came. That big old list became if you're not careful, your faith makes God a cosmic sugar daddy. And you send him a wish list of what you want. That's not how it works. God wants to bless you. Yes, don't you let me get it wrong. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to others. That's why he blesses us, to be a blessing to others. But without struggle, there is no process, no progress. You can't move forward without struggle. So you know, do you know that an airplane, when an airplane takes off, it takes off against the wind. Not with the wind, against the wind. Because it's the struggle that causes the airplane to lift up. It's the struggle that causes the airplane and the attitude of the airplane to work together and cause it to rise up and do what it's got to do. So watch this. Whenever God gives us a promise, he always gives us a problem. And I'm getting ready. I'm not going to keep you long. I promise. Y'all got to struggle just a little bit more. Whenever God gives us a promise, he also gives us a problem. Thank you, God. How many enjoy getting problems? How many can't wait to get more problems? Give me more problems, God. How many give me more and say, God, give me some more problems? All the hands went down. God, give me problems today. Problems that I cannot solve. Problems beyond me. God, give me things that I think are impossible. Give them to me today. I guarantee you I won't hear that tomorrow morning. I guarantee you I won't say that tomorrow morning. But you see, God gives us problems that produce struggle. He told Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. There was one minor problem. He was too old and his wife had never been able to have children. Okay, I'm going to be the father of a great nation. I'm too old and my wife can't have children. Tell me how that was going to work, God. David, we're anointing you king, but we want you to go back out in the field and keep on feeding the sheep. And then when you do get a chance to come to the palace, everything's going to look good for a little while, but then the king's going to chase you and try to kill you. And for years, you're going to be on the run. Really? Joseph had a dream. All these ears of corn are bowing down before him. He's becoming a mighty ruler over the whole land. But guess what? He winds up in a prison accused of rape and stays there for 10 to 12 years. Wait a minute, God. Did you understand when you told me something that I couldn't have babies when you told me I was going to be the father of many nations? Did you understand that when you told me I was going to be king, that the other king's going to try to kill me? God, did you understand when you told me I was going to be ruler over the earth that I'm in prison? Does this make sense? But that's how God does it. Because listen, faith causes us to grasp the promise. And the problems causes the promise to grab back. If you're taking notes, that's a good one. I might make that a mighty army. Faith causes us to grasp the promise. Problems cause the problem to grasp back. So now here we go. Just a few things, and then we're gonna go home or wherever you gotta go. Amen. The struggle principle. Has God ever give you a promise? He's gonna bless you. He's gonna do something for you that you can't do for yourself, and now all of a sudden you're experiencing loss. You're experiencing hurt. You're experiencing health problems. God said He was going to open the door mightily for you, and now all of a sudden, the door is shut in front of your face. Wow. God said you're going to be the father of a great nation. You can't even have babies. God says you're going to be the king and you're on the run. God says you're going to be a ruler and you're in prison. Wow. You know, they try to tell you that the average person stays 120 days at Pitt Detention Center. I was counseling with a guy the other day that's been there 7 years. Seven. And the most of his time is spent in an 8x8 for 23 hours. Wow. He said, God told me that everything's going to be all right. He said, I know I'm innocent. And he says, they know I'm innocent. They can't even bring me to trial because they can't even find anything to actually bring me to trial for. He said, they keep on looking. He said, eventually they're trying to plead with me to get me on out of here. That's happened already one time. A guy was in there for like 7 or 8 years, and he got out the same way. He said, the police really can't find anything. He says, but I'm about to go crazy. He says, because God told me I'd be free. And he says, I'm still locked up in this 8x8, 23 hours a day. I'm sorry, it's my pacemaker. Just playing. What happens when God is trying to enlighten you? When God is trying to empower you and you feel the promise, you know the promise, but you're not seeing it. All you see is pain and problems. Wow. I want you to remember this again. Remember this very clearly. Without struggle, there is no progress. Matter of fact, if it was just that easy, pop, there it is. You go to already get saved, and God goes, there it is. When you walk out, get your shopping cart, because on the way out to the car, I'm going to fill it up with all kinds of stuff, and you'll never have another problem in your life. Wouldn't that be cool? You couldn't keep the church. You'd have to build a church 10 times this size if that's what happened. But that's not how it works. Now, I'm going to talk about struggle. Just the first sign. There's some signs about struggle. I'm going to give you this, and then we're going to go out of here. Number one, struggle is a sign that there's still life in you. As long as you're struggling, there's potential inside of you. We're going to camp right here, and then I'm going to break this down, and then we're going to leave. Matter of fact, I got another Bible on my phone. I'm going to bring this up here. Y'all know I'm not texting while I'm preaching. I'm actually using the phone. Let's see here. See my Bible? Okay. Then we'll say, Pat, preacher was texting on Facebook while he was preaching. Yeah. I thought as good as some of y'all are already. Did y'all get that? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Y'all go ahead and laugh. It's funny. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Let's just break that down a little bit. This is so cool. Ready? My fingers are so slippery from that bass, I can't even hold anything. Look, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Get ready. I'm going to just break this down in another version. I'm going to take it into the Greek. We're pressed, but not crushed. There's something inside of us. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, I've told this story many, many times. I tell it all the time at prison. Is when you go into the deepest part of the ocean, it's over 7 miles. And people couldn't even go down there because it would just crush you. It would absolutely crush you. Now they can do this stuff, but this is back in the day. And so they finally invented a manual submarine, or not a manual, but an automatic submarine that they could control, and it could go down to the bottom without being crushed. And so they sent it down 7 miles to the bottom. And when they sent it down, they were observing what was going on, what was happening. No big fish were down there. They couldn't be there. No octopuses, none of that, because they couldn't survive. Too much pressure. And as they're exploring in that 7 miles down below, they see these little itty-bitty fish just swimming around having a good time. And they say, I can't believe this. There's fish swimming at 7 miles. They're itty-bitty, but they're fishing. I'm not fishing, but swim. I'm fishing. Can you see them? They had their poles out there? The fish were swimming. And so the mechanical or robotic arm reached out and sucked a few of them rascals in, and they brought it into the submarine, and they called the submarine back to the surface. And when they called it back to the surface, they said, what is it about these fish when even the big whales and stuff can't even stand this? It just kills them to get down that deep. They cannot go that low. The sharks can't go that low. What is it that causes that itty-bitty fish to be able to survive and thrive in that deep water? And so the biologists began to do work on it. As the biologists began to do work on these little bitty fish, they found out there was something inside of the fish that produced pressure. And it would push the inside of this fish out. So no matter how much pressure it had on the outside, it produced enough pressure on the inside to keep the walls of that fish fine. So no matter where that fish went, no matter how much pressure it felt, the little mechanism on the inside, the little organ on the inside, produced enough pressure on the inside to keep it from imploding. Wow. Has anybody ever asked you, how'd you go through that? You went through something, you had a loss in your life, you had something happen in your life, and somebody said, how in the world did you get through that? How in the world did you make it? That would have killed a normal man. That would have killed a normal woman. How in the world did you make it through that? Here it is. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is He that's in you producing pressure, pushing against the pressure that's coming against you so you can handle whatever's coming your way. Thank God, no matter how much pressure we got pushing us in, trying, you know, there's been times I can hardly breathe, gone into the funeral home and been a loved one in there. And when I go up there, I have to take a deep breath as I see them there or in the coffin or as I'm sitting there holding somebody's hand as they're dying. And I got to hold my breath and I feel my chest getting really, really tight as that person's taking their last breath. And I know the reason that I could do this is because something inside of me is generating, and it's God. He's generating something on the inside of you too that pushes against the pressure. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Here's one. I'm confused, but I'm not freaking out. I'm just breaking this verse down. I'm confused, but I'm not freaking out. He's in control. I have my band on. I bet you I've given away. God's got this. I better give away 20 of them this week. Every time I get one on my arm, I give it away. Get one on my arm, I give it away. And this morning, I thought I had them in the car, but I was actually switching cars, and so I didn't have any in the car with me. So today I feel kind of naked. This is the longest I've been since Bethany has been gone. This is the longest I've been today without having one of her armbands on my arm because I keep giving them away. He's in control. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Even last night when my professor was driving me crazy, you know what I heard? God is my witness. I'm having a hard time with what this professor has done and made it kind of hard for me to even try to come back off the mat after he just put me on the mat. Love your paper. It's great. Don't change a thing, but it's not good enough. I love what you got. Don't change a thing. Keep it in there. It's awesome material. Awesome. Matter of fact, he even told me, he said, I want you to put stuff in there about Bethany. And the way I ended it, he said, was the most awesome ending of any paper. And here's the ending of the paper. I said, as Bethany lay dying in the hospital, I said, girl, if it was possible, I'd climb up in that bed and I'd take that cancer for you and I'd die in your place. This is what I told her. And she looked at me with the sweetest little voice. And she said, Daddy, she said, and this is how I ended my paper. Daddy, my race is run. Yours is just getting started. She said, I want you to take all this stuff you've learned through our battle with this, and I want you to go out and help a bunch of people. And she said, and Daddy, don't you let me down. And that's how I ended my paper. The man said, you can't do any better than that. But back up a couple of pages. There's something I want more here, 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 and here. But I was sitting there on that couch, and I was really getting angry because I've been working on this thing for 7 weeks. You're really getting angry. I know you wouldn't think I'd get angry, do you? If you don't think I get angry, there's a guy right there that'll tell you. The guy sitting right there that played that guitar today. Yeah, he'll tell you. I'm sorry. I got my earpiece in here and it's climbing all over me. Hold on. Praise God. Thank God for modern technology. Whew. All right. Y'all thought I was going to do dun, dun, dun. Y'all heard about the Amish strip club, didn't you? They went, put it on, put it on. Okay. And as I was sitting there and I was getting angry, because I said, that guy didn't give me a chance. He gave it to me tonight when I should have had it Monday, where I could have been doing all this work to fix it. I would have been fine Monday, but tonight at 10 o'clock telling me this, and I can't do a thing about it now. And I heard a little voice. Said, it's okay, Dad. God's got this. Wow. And then I heard the voice again say, either way, Dad, you win. Wow. I'm confused, but I'm not freaking out because we know that all and that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Get ready. Here we go. We're getting ready to end it right now. Get ready. We're pursued and under attack, but we're not left behind. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, which literally means, watch this. This is some of that psychology. I'll never abandon you physically. I'll never abandon you emotionally. I will be there. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Fear can knock you down, but it doesn't have to keep you down. God has got this. DC, Jeff, y'all can start making your way up here. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, 29 and 31, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've learned to say this prayer. Y'all say it with me. Thank you, Lord, for my struggles. Y'all say it with me. Thank you, Lord, for my struggles. For without them, I would have never known my strengths. That's just the very open. We just had the beginning of the sermon. That's just the very beginning. We got a lot more to go, but that's just the very beginning. Thank you, God, for the struggles in my life. I remember Daniel when he was over in Afghanistan. And there was new guys coming all the time. And Daniel said, Dad, I hate it when they put me with somebody new and I find out they've not ever done anything. He said, those guys will get you killed. I said, what are you talking about, son? He said, they've never been through anything. They don't understand what it's like to be fired on. And he said, when the things get rough, they'll either do something stupid or they'll run. Either way, they'll get you killed. He said, Daddy, when I have to go in there anywhere, I want to make sure I got somebody that's been through struggles and know what it's all about. He said, they're the ones you can depend on. I was talking to B5 guys Friday. And God worked a miracle anyway. There was a guy in there who had never come to the class that I was offering. He'd sit around the corner and would listen, but he wouldn't come in. And finally, after a couple of weeks, he said, can I talk to you alone? So I carried him in the council room. And he said, I'm from the West Coast. I'm from a gang. He said, and we've worshiped the devil. He said, but I keep listening to you and listening to you. And he says, you're not all religious like some of those guys are. You actually, I enjoy listening to you. And he said, I'm beginning to understand more and more and more about Jesus. Well, he's gone now. He got moved to a prison. But let me just tell you this. That devil, the guy that was at one time had worshiped the devil in a gang, before he left, was worshiping God, and I led him through the sinner's prayer. That's powerful. Powerful. And he said he couldn't wait to get out of prison and pull his time of probation awaiting so he could come back to the prison and tell the other guys about how good God is. But I remember that day he's sitting in there and I said, how many think God can use you? And every last one of those heroin addicts put their hand down. And I said, why do you think God can't use you? And they said, look what we've been through. And I told them, I said, you know something? You're going to be able to touch more lives than I could ever touch, because I've never been on this stuff. All I got is a psychological perspective, and all I've got is a educational perspective, but y'all have been there. Y'all can really make a difference in people's lives. I said, don't ever underestimate the power of the struggle, because your struggle has made your message so strong. And it was right after that young man gave his heart to the Lord, and he said, I can't wait to come back so I can tell others what God can do for you. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Don't look around. How many here today would say, Pastor, I got some struggles going on. Just real quickly, put your hand up. Pastor, I got some struggles going on. Here comes the good one. Until today, I thought it was all Satan. And now I realize that some of those struggles, all those got Satan written all over it in my eyes. I realize today that sometimes it's not Satan working overtime. It's God being on time. And God is allowing this. But you just found that out. You really, really put the hand up. I'm realizing this now. I'm realizing it's not because I've done something bad, but it's because God's got more for me to do, and I cannot do it without the struggle. Lewis Braille would have never invented Braille if his son had not gone blind and needed a way to communicate with the written word. Helen Keller would have spent her time in a nursing home in total darkness, very little communication, if it had not been for just a handful. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. Y'all say that. God's got this. God is in control. 100% in control. There's never been a time when He wasn't. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. Even when young people tire and drop out, young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those that wait upon God get a fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. If you're going through something today, I'm not even going to ask you to come up here. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're going through a struggle today and you're needing God to give you that fresh perspective, that fresh look, that fresh anointing, so you can feel and see and know and understand. Nobody looking around. But just put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I really need some help. Now we're going to all pray together. Ready? Father, I really need your help. Help me to have a fresh perspective on my struggles. I ask you to help me to understand that it's not all Satan trying to stop me. It is actually you, God, trying to push me forward. I thank you that you love me enough, and I thank you that you trust me enough to allow these problems in my life. So I have to lean on you stronger and therefore gain strength. I thank you for what you're doing in my life, even though I don't understand it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, anybody needs to come to the altar to pray for anything? The altars are open. You can raise your eyes, raise your head. Every day from here on out, thank you, Lord, for my struggles. For without them, I would have never known my strengths. Somebody say, God's got this. Praise the Lord. Don't forget Tuesday night. Awesome stuff going on Tuesday night. Plus you get to eat. It's like having homecoming every Sunday. I just realized my buttons weren't even buttons. Y'all, I'm telling you what, I look like a wreck, don't I? My earpiece falling all out. God's so good. There you go. Ain't God good? All the time. God is good.
Be dismissed in prayer, brother. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message. We ask that you bless each and every one of us and the ones that's not able to be here. We ask that you keep us all safe and healthy and guide us home safe and keep us in your mind forever. We love you, we praise you, and we glorify you. Say our prayers to you through your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.